السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini teaching the weekend Islamic school. And it's the Quran class dealing with the names of Allah, Asma Allah, the beautiful names of Allah. And today we're going to do Ism Allah al-Fattah. And Khayr al-Fatihin. Khayr al-Fatihin is a name that is derived from Al-Fattah. So the primary name is Al-Fattah. Khayr al-Fatihin is a derived name, which means, Fattah means the opener. Khayr al-Fatihin means the best of the opener. Okay. So the first thing we want to learn about Al-Fattah, the name of Allah Al-Fattah, we want to learn from language point of view. Al-Fattah means open. From language point of view, Al-Miftah is the key. So the key, this is called Muftah. Plural is Mafatih. And this is also, open the door is Fath al-Bab. Fath al-Bab. So that's from a language. It's like keys or open. Okay. Now, Khayr al-Fatihin is a derived name. So closed doors that you want to open, this door could be one of the following. So it means that it's closed doors that you want to open. What is this door that you want to open is one of the following. The first one is Al-Fattah huwa alladhi yufarrij al-karb 'an an-nas. The Al-Fattah, he's the one that relieves people from hardships. Okay? Relieves people from hardships. And see how Allah is Al-Fattah in relieving people from hardships.
فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. تقال العسار العظام به ويغد الهوى ككبش ذبيح بذكر الإله.
Human beings will suffer emotionally traumatizing experiences. We're going to be hurt because of loved ones, because of loss of loved ones, because of sickness, because of the pain that loved ones will cause us, like the hurtful things our parents will say to us, or we will say to our parents, or our children will say to us, or the wife and the husband will say to each other, or friends will say to each other, you know, and we're going to go through traumatic experiences in life, like, you know, job loss or home loss, or even worse, you know, there are people, so how many people in the world living in, like, you know, really horrific situations that we can't imagine suffering. Children going through things that I can't imagine my children even close to suffering from, right? And that's a reality that so many people face. And this particular ayah, to me, is an ayah of great hope, because when people get scarred, people get emotionally damaged, then they feel like they're never going to be able to recover and move on with life again. Musa's mother had the colossal task of taking her baby and putting the baby in the water. A mother has to put her child in the water. That is not it's not even an imaginable thing a mother can do. But she has two options: watch her child be slaughtered by soldiers before her eyes, or take this child and put him in a basket which hasn't been tested for waterproof navigation by any means. And throw him into the river. Alqihi fil yam. Throw him. And Allah says, when she threw him into the water, when she threw the baby into the river, by Allah's inspiration, because she couldn't have gotten herself to do it emotionally, Allah empowered her to be able to do that. Musa's mother's heart was emptied out. Like the trauma of having to let go of her child and watch the child float away into a river, and you can't even access him anymore, and you don't even know what happened to him, if he drowned or not, if a gator got to him, if those horrible soldiers caught him, if it flipped over, she knows nothing. Allah says her heart was emptied out. Farighan. Her heart became emptied out, void of all emotion. You know, somebody hears like traumatic news and you go like this, and they don't blink, they don't talk, they're just quiet, they're emotionally paralyzed. That's the state she reached. Now Allah says, He calmed her heart down and brought her back to a normal state. And Allah is describing that He did that. You know, there are...
Because He's Al-Fattah, He relieved her calamities. So He opened the doors of relief for her.
people that are emotionally traumatized and can never recover. Why not? Because Allah hasn't tied up their heart. We as human beings don't have the ability to emotionally recover sometimes, but we're learning in this ayah that Allah has the ability to let us heal and move on. Allah, you could say to yourself, I don't have the emotional capability of forgiving you. But Allah says, I'll tie your heart and I'll give you that ability. You can say in your heart, I'm too damaged by what happened. There's no way I can move on with my life. But iman, faith in Allah, is enough for you to be able to move on with your life. Know that Allah can intervene and give you peace of mind, peace of heart. And He can give you tranquility again. Whether it's anxiety, fear, whether it's grief, whether it's anger, whatever emotion, whatever thing has happened that's scarred you, that's left you scarred, Allah can remove that scar entirely.
يا ليت اليوم تفهمني وتفهم خاطري ورحل تكلم والشجاع مني سيف الهم تراه استل سيف الهم تراه استل.
So basically the people are in hardship and Allah opened the relief for them by removing these calamities, by comforting them, by it's Allah is opener of relief. The second meaning of Al-Fattah is that he is in the day of judgment, he will be a relief to the believers. The day of judgment itself is a relief for believing, for believers, for oppressed, for prophets, for righteous people, and it is the right, the fair judgment. So it is basically an opener of relief of hardship. The hardship was applied on the believers, oppressed, prophets, righteous people. So it was applied on them. They were in a hardship. And then they wanted to relieve them, wanted Allah to relieve them, means Allah to open the doors of relief to them by doing the fair judgment. Also, it means that Allah, opener, Al-Fattah, means Allah, the one who does judgment between the rivals. So the rivals are stuck with each other without a relief. Allah opens the door of relief to these enemies by judging between them. In the verse in Surah Ibrahim, verse 15, Allah says that they asked Allah for relief, or in the day of judgment, Allah provided relief to them in the day of judgment, and the mighty criminals, mighty stubborn criminals, they became losers. Basically, this is about the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the day of judgment and what would be, how is He going to relieve the good guys and make the bad guys losers. Then one prophet was calling on Allah by saying, "Iftah bayni wa baynahum fatha." Ya Allah, open the doors of relief between me and them, and save me and the believers with me. So in Surah Shu'ara, verse 11:8. So basically, the Prophet is having there is a hardship, there is a stuck. The Prophet is stuck with the bad guys. So he's asking Allah for relief, and this relief is going to be the day of judgment. Okay, so that's why it's in the future. Faftah. And then one of the names of the Day of Judgment is Al-Fath. In Surah Al-Sajda, they ask, when is this Fath if you are truly believers? Where Fath is the Day of Judgment. So they are asking, when is this Day of Judgment going to be? The reason the Day of Judgment is called Fath again, because it's a relief from oppression, it's a relief from injustice, it's a relief from suffering, it's a relief by Allah is going to decree. Allah is going to decree with justice between the people who are stuck together in animosity. So that's the day of al-Fath. And also in Surah Al-Sajda, the next ayah, Allah is saying, the day of Fath, which is the day of judgment, there the people, the non-believers, will not be able to benefit from becoming believers. So the non-believers, if they believe, then it doesn't help them at all. At all. It's not worth it. It's not, it. They don't get anything. They don't get any credit. They will believe, of course, because they will be seeing Allah, the angels, the hellfire. So they will believe that the strongest believers in the day of judgment are the ones that dwell hellfire, because they are inside the hellfire. So Allah is saying that in the day of al-Fath, the day of opening, where the people who need justice, who needs relief from injustice and oppression and suffering, Allah is saying this day, their faith is not going to help them. I mean, if they believe, is not going to help them, and they will not be given any chances. No waiting. It's just they receive their due punishment right away. In Surah Saba, verse 26, Allah, so the Prophet is telling the people that Allah is going to gather us in the day of judgment. Then he is going to do fath between us. And he is Al-Fattah Al-Alim. And he is Al-Fattah, the one who does the opening the doors of relief, which is in the day of judgment. So the Prophet is saying Allah is going to gather us, and he is going to open between us, which is open the doors of relief between us. And he is Al-Fattah. He is the opener of closed doors. Opening the doors of mercy to people. Opening the doors of mercy. The doors of mercy, the people are in desperate need for mercy. Okay, so the doors of mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the keys for the doors of mercy. So he is Al-Fattah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir ayah 2, whatever Allah opens the door for, whatever the doors Allah opens for mercy, the doors of mercy that Allah opens, okay, no one can hold. If Allah opens the doors of mercy, no one can hold them, okay? And if he holds the doors of mercy, nobody can release them, release mercy. So basically, the one who decides about mercy is Allah. Allah decides it because he has the key for everything. He has the key for mercy, and he has the key for, and he decides when to open the door and when to close the door. Also, another meaning, which is opening the doors of provisions and supplies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 96, that if the people fear me, believe into me and fear me, I will open for them blessings from heavens and earth, but they denied my favors, so I punished them because of what they used to do. So basically, Allah is making a promise, and this promise is made in the Quran in different places, that when people believe, Allah is going to open to them blessings from earth and heavens. So Allah, in the hadith, when the Prophet Isa alayhi salam comes down and the entire people of the earth become believers and good people, Allah is going to open the doors of food, sustenance and provisions on them, so that they can eat and enjoy without having to suffer, to do business, to work for them. Allah is going to open the doors of blessings for them. But we need to be careful, because opening the doors of blessings to the people is not always good. It's not always good. Sometimes Allah wants to punish people. So he opened the doors of provisions to them. He opens the doors of provision to them. And why? Because he doesn't want them to reconsider. Allah wanted, like, for example, a person of power. If an evil person of power, Allah opens the doors of provisions to that person, Allah is doing it not because he loves that person, because it is a fitna to that person, which means that it is it's a way to push that person from being repenting and becoming a good person, because this person will be deceived by saying, oh, how come if I'm Allah has given me all these blessings Allah has given them to me, so I must be good, so I don't need to repent from my evil deeds. Just like somebody like Trump, Allah opened the doors of power and food for him and supplies for him. Allah supplied him with power and everything else that he has. But this doesn't mean that's a sign of Allah's love. It could be a sign of Allah's anger, because he's angry at him. So he's supplying him so that he doesn't repent. He's deceived. He's deceived and he doesn't repent until the day of judgment comes, and then Allah is going to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to capture them suddenly and throw them in hell. Allah is keeping them, their destiny, a secret. So when it is the time, the due time, Allah will capture them. Allah will capture them and then throw them for punishment. So that's not always, opening the doors of provisions is not always good. It's not always good, okay? And closing the doors of provisions is not always bad, because Allah might want to do us fitna to the people that he likes. He wants to cause them, he wants to test them, test their patience, raise their ranks. So he closes the doors of provisions so that they suffer. And that suffering becomes a test of them, whether they are going to be thankful to Allah or not going to be thankful to Allah. So that's the opening of the doors of sustenance or provisions. Okay? Then Allah also knows has the doors of secrets, doors of secret things, okay? Things that are secret. Allah has the keys for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am verse 59, he says that he has the keys of the unseen, the keys of the unknown. Nobody knows about it except him. He knows what's in the land, what's in the sea. If, notice this, pay attention to this. If a leaf falls down from a tree, he knows about it. If it's a grain in the darkness of earth, or if it's a wet thing, or if it's a dry thing, all of them are written in a book. Allah knows about them. And you might know there is another ayah that if there is a leaf falling down in the middle of jungle, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, Allah knows where did it come from, where is it going to. Allah knows all the details about this. And one might ask himself or herself, how come Allah cares about knowing these details? And the answer is that Allah knows about them because he's the one that make it happen. And he knows what he's doing. He's the one who's doing it. He's the one who's making the leaf fall down. He is the one that's doing that. It's with his power and ability, he's doing that. So he knows what he's doing. And to Allah, there are no details and or abstract knowledge. Allah to Allah, there's no details, and to Him, all information to Him are the same. No details at all. Nothing's classified as details. Nothing can is classified as non-detailed. It's all knowledge to Him. They are equal. He knows everything equally. So that's where Allah has the keys, mafatihul ghayb, the keys of the unseen, the keys of the unseen. Also, the opening the doors of victory. We have opening the doors of victory, which is basically conquering the enemy in a battle, conquering the enemy. So in Surah An-Nisa, verse 141, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the hypocrites is that when Allah gives a victory, gives a fatah, gives a victory, they say to the believers, we were fighting with you and we want our share of the spoils of the war. Okay, but if the believers lose and the non-believers win, then they go to the non-believers and say, haven't we helped you and we prevented you from being defeated by the believers? So basically they are playing a game to collect spoils of war from the winning party. Okay, so they have two faces basically. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah is talking about Al-Fath, which is a victory, in verse 52. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't take the fighting Christians and the fighting Jews, the ones who fight you, not the ones who are nice and kind to you, the ones who fight you. Don't take them as friends and allies. An example of that for us is the Islamophobes. Don't take an Islamophobe as an ally or a friend, okay? Because not only that it doesn't make sense, but also you will be betraying your religion if you take an Islamophobe as a friend, and especially if it's a close friend. So Allah saying that, and then Allah saying that you, to the Prophet, you will be seeing people who have diseases in their heart are rushing to be allies to the enemies. Okay? And they are going to say, we did that because we are afraid of being defeated. So Allah says, Allah will bring al-fath, Allah will bring the opening, Allah will bring the victory, okay, to the believers. And this will make them the bad guys, the guys who became allies with the non-believers, regret. Surah Al-Anfal 19, Allah saying, if you ask for victory, He gave you victory. Surah Al-Fath, Ayah 1, Allah saying, we have given you a great victory. This is in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a treaty with the non-believers that about doing Hajj and Umrah, and about about believers, who people, non-believers who become believers, if they travel to Medina, the Prophet will return them. But the other way around, if a believer will return to Mecca, will change his religion, become a non-believer and return to Mecca, the people of Mecca will not send him back. And the Prophet, of course, accepted this condition because it didn't happen that someone ever believed in the Prophet and then he quit it. So he didn't really, it didn't bother him. And then the peace between the allies of both parties. So when this happened, Allah says, I've given you a victory, a great victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. And Surah Al-Fath, okay, so Allah called Surah with name Al-Fath, which is the victory. And Allah is saying that because He was believed, because Allah was pleased with the believers who are giving you an oath of allegiance under the tree to fight till death, Allah looked into their heart and he found their hearts sincere. So he sent tranquility on them, tranquility and peace to them. And he rewarded them with a fatah, which is a victory, which is a victory, fatah. Surah Al-Fatih also ayah 27, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gave his true promises that you are going to go to the Masjid Al-Haram, the Kaaba, safe, shaving your heads because of ihram, and having short garments because of ihram. And Allah made that possible. Allah will make that possible by granting you a fatah, which is victory. Surah Al-Hadid, Allah is saying that the people who believed before Al-Fatih, before Al-Fatih, which is conquering Mecca, are much higher degree than the people who fought after Al-Fatih, after Mecca was conquered. Okay, Surah As-Saff, Allah says you like Al-Fatih, which is the conquering, the victory, and give the believers the good news of the victory. In Surah An-Nasr, Allah talks about the end of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam job. So he said, when the victory of Allah comes, when the victory of Allah comes, then ask for his forgiveness and glorify him. Okay. Also, another meaning is that when Allah gives news to people, basically that verse talks about the non-believers, okay, the Jews, when they used to Allah gave them good news, so they said, keep it, stay quiet and don't tell them about your good news. Okay, and that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 76. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 89, that the non-believers, the Jews, used to know the description of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it's written in their books. So, during the days before the people of Medina became Muslims, the Jews used to tell them, Allah will send us a prophet to this land. We're going to follow him, become a superpower, and defeat you. So Allah sent the prophet that they were looking for with the same exact descriptions that they have, but he was an Arab prophet. He wasn't a Jewish prophet from the children of Israel. So that's why they denied him. So Allah is saying, you were given the news, the good news that you are saying to the non-believers that there would be a prophet coming from us. There is an opening and relief on the Day of Judgment, where in the Day of Judgment, the people, Allah will be so angry at the people that he keeps them waiting in the land of gathering, which is the land of Day of Judgment. He keeps them waiting and refuses to start the judgment. And they will be waiting under the sun. The sun will be 1 mile above their heads. Okay? With the exception of the good people, of course, they would be under the shade of the throne of Allah. But the people, other people, are going to be under 1 mile under the sun. And Allah will be so angry at people, and Allah will refuse to start the Day of Judgment. Allah will refuse to start judging them, and Allah will just keep them waiting. So people will wait and wait and wait until they get sick and tired of waiting, and they wish they go to hell. They wish that they want to move on, even if they go to hell. It doesn't matter. They will just want any kind of relief. Okay? So they were seeking the relief, which is the opening from Allah, opening of the doors of relief from Allah. So they wanted Allah to start judging them. They were so desperate in the start of judgment to the level that they were willing to move on to hell, but just move on. Okay? That's how terrible the waiting was. And Allah will make keep them waiting for a long time. You can think of these long times as years and years of waiting. Okay. Then the people are going to think about a way. So the people are going to say, okay, let's go and ask the righteous prophets to appear to beg Allah, beg of Allah, and say, Ya Allah, we beg of you to start the judgment. Okay, which is called a shafa'ah, which is basically intercession, where they beg of Allah to ask Allah for something, beg of Allah to do something, or to grant something. So the people and the day of judgment and this condition are going to talk to each other and say, okay, let's go ask the prophets to seek relief from Allah, to start the judgment. So they went to Prophet Adam. And they said, Ya Adam, you are the father of humanity. Allah created you with his own hands. Allah breathed his soul into you directly. And Allah ordered the angels to bow down to you. Would you go and do it? And ask Allah for relief, start the judgment. Don't you see what we are suffering from? Don't you see what's happening to us? So Adam is going to refuse and say his excuse that Allah is so angry today that he was never that angry ever before. Okay, and I'm scared because I disobeyed him. He forbade me from eating from the forbidden tree, and I did. So I'm so scared of appearing before him and asking him for things. Okay, so leave me alone and go to somebody else. Go to Noah. So they went to Prophet Noah, and they say, Ya Noah, O Noah, you are the first from among the first messengers to earth, or actually the first messenger. Prophet Nuh wasn't the first prophet. There has been prophets before him, but he was the first messenger. And messenger is Rasul, prophet is Nabi. Prophet Muhammad is a messenger, okay? So we call him Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. And the messenger has a major rule. So the messenger will be sent to non-believers, but the prophet would be sent to believers. The prophet would be sent to people who stopped taking the religion seriously, and he's going to help them and preach to them so that they start taking the religion seriously. So they are believers, but they are not taking the religion seriously. And the religion, the teachings of the religion is still valid, wasn't corrupted, wasn't changed or anything like that. So Allah will send the prophet. But if the message of the religion itself, the teaching of the religion is almost lost or corrupted, the teachings of this religion is corrupted, and the people become disbelievers, of course, because they are believing in a corrupt book, which is false. So Allah will send a messenger with a new book. Allah sends a messenger to a new book to teach the people a new religion, okay? To bring them back to the straight path. So that's why the prophet is sent to believers, but the non-prophet, but the messenger is sent to non-believers. There has been about 360 messengers during the life of humanity, 360 messengers, and 114,000 prophets. 114,000 prophets. So every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Okay. So they said to Prophet Nuh, you are the first messenger. You are the first messenger on earth. And Allah called you a thankful slave or a thankful servant. Go ask Allah for relief to start the judging us. Don't you see how are we suffering? Don't you see what is happening? He said, Allah is angry now, is very angry, and I'm very scared to appear between him, because, and he was never that angry before, and he will never be that angry after. And I made a mistake, because I prayed to Allah to destroy my people. When my people didn't believe into me, I prayed against them. I prayed to Allah to destroy them, and Allah destroyed them by drowning them during the flood. And he said, go to Ibrahim. So they called to Ibrahim and they say, you are the prophet of the messenger of Allah, the prophet of Allah and his intimate friend. Ibrahim is an intimate friend from the earth to Allah. So ask Allah to relieve us and open the doors of relief to us and start judging us. So Prophet Ibrahim said, Allah never became so angry before, and he will never become so angry after. He's very angry. I'm too scared to go ask him for things because I made few lies. And the Prophet Ibrahim did few lies. For example, when he destroyed the idols, he put the axe. There were so many idols, and there was a chief idol, biggest one, the biggest one among them. He destroyed all of them. He kept the biggest one, and he put the axe that he used to destroy the other ones in his hand. Okay? So when the people came to ask him who did that, he pointed to the biggest idol, and he said, he did it. Okay? He did it. Okay? So, of course, Prophet Ibrahim is the one who did it, but he said he did it. And the reason he said that, he wanted them to think. So when they looked at the biggest one holding the axe, they say, hold on, those guys don't move or talk. So he said, then you idiots believe into an idol that doesn't talk, okay, or move, okay. So that's one lie. These are like white lies. But he are so afraid of his white lies that he didn't want to appear before Allah. And he said, go to Musa. So they went to Prophet Musa and they said, Allah has favored you with his talking to you directly. Allah talked to nobody except Musa. Okay. Go ask Allah for intercept, for relief. And start of the judgment. Don't you see what's happening for us? Don't you see the suffering that we are in? So Prophet Musa said the same thing. Allah is so angry today, and he was never that angry before, and he will never be that angry after. And I killed a person. Prophet Musa killed a person by mistake. He didn't mean it. But he's afraid and he's scared from this. And then he said, go to Isa, Jesus. So they come to Prophet Isa. They say, you are the prophet, the messenger of Allah, and you are the spirit of Allah that he breathed into Maryam. So that you are a man without a father. Okay? So Prophet Isa say, that Allah is so angry today, but he did not mention a bad deed that he did. But he said, اذهبوا إلى محمد. Go to Muhammad. So for a relief. So may Allah may grant relief on his hand. So they go to Prophet Muhammad. They say, you are the messenger of Allah. You are the end, the seal of the prophets. Allah has forgiven you all your sins that you committed in the early stages of your life and all the sins you committed in the latest stage of your life. Allah has completely forgiven you for all sins. Ask Allah for relief, to open the doors of relief. Don't you see our suffering? Don't you see what's coming for us? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, it is, I am for the job. He walked to the throne of Allah, and he made sujood to the throne of Allah, and Allah gave him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, inspired him with du'as that he can make. Do you have a question? Do you have a question? Okay. So Allah inspired him with prayers and gratitude, like how to say du'as that has prayers and gratitudes to Allah. So Allah told him, lift your head, Muhammad. Ask and you will be given. Ask for relief. Ask me to open the doors of relief and I will open them. So he raises his head and he says, Ya Allah, I want kindness to my ummah, my followers, my ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to start the judgment, and he is going to let the people of Prophet Muhammad, the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter Jannah after, of course, they go through the judgment and everything else. Also, reliever, the one who decrees, the opener is the one who decrees, because people, without a decree, people are stuck. And in order for people to have a relief, they need a decree. And the decree of Allah, they have two kinds of decrees. The religious decree, which are the rules of Islam, decreeing the rules of Islam. People have the choice to disobey or to obey. And then the second decree is decreeing the laws of nature. And decreeing the laws of nature, no one can break this decree. No one has the choice to break or disobey in the laws of nature. The decree of the laws of nature. So Allah opens the doors of heart of relief by decreeing laws that's going to relieve people from suffering and hardships. Okay.